Good morning. So nice to see so many of you here this morning, and we pray that our time together will be led by the Holy Spirit and blessed of the Lord. I'm going to speak on a subject this morning that we don't often speak on here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. I'd like to share some reasons why we don't, and then some reasons why we feel it's important that we do. And that is the subject of giving. In the Old Testament, that was called tithing. Last time I spoke on this was on August 11th of 2013, so just over 5 years ago. And the elders felt that it was just in keeping with teaching principles and truths that we find in Scripture, that it was time that we address the issues again from a scriptural viewpoint. We realize also, and we thank the Lord, that there are people in our assembly who were not here 5 years ago. And so we think it'll be good for them to understand why we do things the way we do them, where they are in the area of giving, and a refresher for those of us who might have been here at that time. I'd like to read a little piece here. Tithing, we would call it giving in the New Testament, tithing in the Old Testament, but both of them speak with the subject of giving to support the Lord's people and the Lord's work. It goes like this. A man came to visit his pastor and said, "Pastor, my tithe is becoming a problem to me. When I was only making $50 a week, it wasn't much trouble to drop $5 in the offering plate. But now that I've gotten a large income, I can't spare the large amount of tithe that would be my portion. I wonder if you can help me with this problem." The pastor replied, "Bill, I appreciate your candidness in coming to me. Let's pray about it." And he prayed along this line, "Lord, Bill's tithe is a problem to him because he's making too much money. Lord, give him a business reversal. Reduce his income so that his tithe won't be a problem." The man interrupted and said, "Hold on, Pastor. I don't think my tithe will be a problem any longer." As I mentioned, in the Old Testament, we read the word tithe, and that has to do, again, with God's program to support his people, his servants, and his work. And God laid out very clearly to the nation of Israel, his chosen people, God laid out a plan that told them when they were to give and how much they were to give. They were to tithe on all of their crops, on all of their flocks, and at other times in other ways. But they were to definitely to tithe. God required that. Now, in the New Testament, we do not have God telling us that we are to give 10% or 15% or whatever it may be. Rather, we are taught in the Scriptures that we are to give proportionately to our income. In other words, as God has blessed us, we are to give back, recognizing that everything that we have really is His. Everything that we have belongs to God. He gives it to us. We turn around and use it, and it's passed on to other hands, and the process is repeated. But again, everything that we have is God's gift to us. So when we give, we are really giving back a portion of that which He has given to us, and we need to view it that way. Now, we don't speak often on the subject of giving, and there are a number of reasons for that. You'll notice that in many churches this morning, an offering plate will be passed. Many, many churches. And we're not here to criticize anyone, to find fault with anyone in any way. We're simply here to say that we believe that there is a more scriptural way of giving. A concern that we as leadership in the assembly here would have is that in passing a plate, if you have people who are not taught in the Scriptures, many of them probably have the conception that my giving will gain favor with God. Now, not all, but unless people have been taught in the Scriptures, most people believe that you can gain favor with God by different kinds of works, by your giving, and such things. We read in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Need to remember that phrase, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Brothers and sisters, and others who may be here this morning not knowing the Lord Jesus personally, there is no way that giving any amount of money or doing any other thing can ever gain any favor with God. So we don't pass an offering plate. We don't want anyone to think that if I put more in, God's going to be happier with me and he's going to bless me more. What do we believe? We believe that that God's work is to be carried on by God's people, and that if believers are taught in the scriptures, understand what God says about giving, that they will give and God's word will be carried on. We don't believe that we need to go about with raffles and other kinds of things that would raise money to keep Shannon Hills Bible Chapel going. Over the years, God has blessed the assembly, and we have always done it one way. And that has been that at the end of the worship meeting, when those who are in fellowship in the assembly, not saying that others who aren't there are not in fellowship, but there's a body there who are in fellowship of the assembly during the worship meeting and following that service, as an act of worship, we pass a basket around and everyone has an opportunity to give. Now, we recognize that there are those who, for any number of reasons, cannot be at the worship meeting on particular Sundays. And so we have boxes in the back, and you can drop something in those boxes. And again, there's another box on the desk in the back. But that's our reason for doing it the way we do. And if we look at 3 John chapter 5, there's just one chapter in 3 John. I'm going to be covering a lot of verses this morning. You don't need to look to all of these. You can just... I'd rather you be listening as opposed to missing what's being said by looking for a particular passage, as we do a lot of thumbing through the scriptures. But 3 John verses 5 to 8. What we read here is, beloved, by the way, this was the Apostle John who was writing to Gaius, who was a leader in a local church there. And the Apostle John is referencing itinerant ministers. And these were men, and we have them today, who are taught in the scriptures. They're capable men who can explain God's word, teach God's word. They had men back there who were doing the same thing. And they would go from one church to another teaching. Now, individuals like that can't hold down a full-time job and still do that kind of work for the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul was writing to Gaius, the leader in this particular church, and here's what he said. Beloved, you do faithfully, verse 5, whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. And when he's talking about strangers here, he's talking about these men who travel and stop and minister the word of God and then move on to another church, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their way in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, or taking nothing from the unsaved. So again, we see here that God's way of raising funds is for his people to give. Just want to make that point clear and hope that that will help those who may be here wondering why we don't pass an offering plate. We don't see that scripturally as being the way we should do it. Rather, we believe that God's work should be supported by God's people. Well, why do we speak on the subject? We speak on it because it's scriptural. All the way through the Old Testament and on into the New Testament, we find the tithe in the Old Testament and we find giving in the New Testament. We see God teaching Israel, and we see the Apostle Paul in his writings teaching believers in the New Testament concerning the matter of giving. So first of all, we do it because it is scriptural. Now, the reason for doing so is that Shannon Hills Bible Chapel cannot continue for years to come the way it has in the past unless believers understand what Scripture teaches and from their hearts give to the continuance of the work. We are very, very thankful that many in this assembly have given very generously over the years. I am not standing here this morning and speaking on this subject because the elders have decided that we need more money. That is not the purpose. The purpose is to teach what God says in His Word, to educate believers, remind those who need to be reminded, and educate those who need to be taught as to God's way of giving. Another reason is that Christians who have not learned to give forfeit blessing and reward from God, and that is scriptural. Christians who have not learned to give forfeit blessing and reward from God. Ask you to turn in your Bibles, please. Ask you to turn to this, Philippians 4, 15 to 17. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. You need to understand again that the Apostle Paul had been imprisoned. He had been set free. He was imprisoned again. Apostle Paul, when he was able, he had worked along with his ministry. Came a time when he obviously was in prison. And for other reasons, traveling a lot, could not work. And so he was looking for help, financial help, from believers. And the Philippian church had been very kind and gracious in that regard. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. What the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not asking you to give me money. I'm not asking you to give me a gift of any kind. What I'm really concerned about is that you will build your account in heaven. Brothers and sisters, when we follow God's word, when we obey God in the area of giving, we are adding dividends to our account in heaven. And God promises to reward every believer for all that they have done for the namesake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us who have trusted Christ, we have an account in heaven. We can add to that account as we sacrifice in certain ways here below, and we give of our time, our energy, and the resources that God has given back to Him. So that is another reason that we teach it. The Apostle Paul was pointing out that believers need to be taught so they can give and they can build eternal accounts. You know, folks, the older we get, and those who are not as old as I am, there's some here older, a lot younger, but the older we get, the more aware we become of the fact that God says in the book of James that life is a vapor. We come, we're here, and we're gone. But what we do during this brief period that we have on earth has eternal value, or can have eternal value. And we need to be aware of that, conscious of that, and build for eternity. This life is brief, it's here, it's gone. Those of us who have trusted Jesus will live forever in heaven. And forever, brothers and sisters, is a long, long time to rejoice with the Lord. So let's look at several things here. Why should we give? How should we give? In other words, when, how much, etc. To whom should we give? And promises for the scriptural giver, the person who gives God's way. Why should we give? Not going to go through looking up these verses. But God's word teaches it all the way through the Old Testament in Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament, chapter 14, verses 18 to 20. This was 400 years before the law was given, to the nation of Israel. 400 years before, we find Abraham giving a tithe to Melchizedek. And we're not going to go into everything that's in that portion there. We're just saying that Abraham had learned from God that he was to tithe, and we see it in the first book of the Bible. We see it later in Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. Jacob, who was Abraham's grandson, we see him tithing. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, we see God requiring the tithe under Old Testament law. So again, it's very clear in the Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, you may want to turn to this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, we don't give a dollar expecting that God's going to give us $2 or $5. That is not the reason for giving. But it's been said, and it's absolutely true, brothers and sisters, God is no man's debtor. And when we as believers take God at his word, and we are serious about the advancement of his kingdom here on earth, the salvation of souls, the building up of believers, and all of the other things that our gifts go to, those who have learned to give see again and again that God is faithful to make up everything that they have given and more. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. That's the last book in the Old Testament. And we find God speaking to his people, the Israelites. Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I'll tell you, that is quite a statement against the nation of Israel. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room to receive it. So God is accusing the nation of Israel, his chosen people back in the Old Testament there, though they often did not live like God's chosen people, nonetheless they were chosen by him. God is saying, you have robbed me. And that is the seriousness with which God looked on people who had been taught and told to give to support his word and his work and who had neglected to do so. So God took it very seriously. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'd ask you please to turn to this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we'll be looking at the first couple of verses here. And this is Paul's instruction to the churches. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do. The Apostle Paul is saying, is the instruction I've given to Galatia, I give to all the churches. It's the same instruction concerning giving. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now, the Apostle Paul was going to take an offering from the church in Corinth, and he, along with a number of others, were going to be going to Jerusalem because there were needs that the church in Jerusalem had at that particular time. And that's why he's telling them to store up so that when I come, you won't have to, at the last minute, try to gather everything together. So what are we seeing here? Paul's instruction to all of the churches. On the first day of the week. Now, we understand that some people are paid once a week. Some people are paid once a month. Some people are paid twice a month, and maybe you're paid in some other way. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that there needs to be a frequency in it. As God gives us money, we take a portion of that, and we give that back to the Lord. And we just consistently do that. We get in the habit of doing that. That is the way we give. He's talking about not specifically a day, though Sunday is obviously a good time to do so. But again, if that's not the way you're paid, you don't have money coming in every week, it's talking about frequency. Give on a regular basis. First day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, as he may prosper. There have always been, there always will be, some people who are financially better off in this world than others. It's been that way from the beginning of time. It will be that way to the end of time. What the Apostle Paul is teaching is you look at what you've received, and you have a portion of that. And it's good to work in a percentage. In the Old Testament, we never find less than a tenth or a tithe, 10%. But God's word does not teach that a tenth or an eleventh or whatever it may be, that we have to give a particular percentage. But again, we would say that in the whole Old Testament, nowhere in the Bible, as a matter of fact, do we find less than 10% given to the Lord's work. So it needs to be done frequently, and it needs to be done in accordance with the way God has prospered us. First Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 would ask you to, okay, we looked at that, I'm sorry. Who should give? Every one of you. Every one of you. First day of the week, everyone, let each one of you lay aside something. So who? Everyone, in accordance with the way God has blessed them. What should our attitude be when we give? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 would ask you to turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Here's what we read. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So what do we read here? What should our attitude be? It should be a cheerful attitude, a willing attitude, recognizing that everything that we have has come from a gracious God who loves us and who gives and gives and gives and gives again. Gave his Son, the Lord Jesus, to save us and promises to be with us and to care for us through this entire life, willingly, voluntarily. We read here, but this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You know, I was driving by the other day, it goes back a number of months now, driving down the road and drove by a cornfield. And I was able, the corn wasn't fully grown, but I looked down at those rows of corn and saw how closely the rows of corn, or those seeds were planted in that row. And, of course, there's equipment, automated equipment that goes down and drops a seed, a seed, a seed, a seed, a seed, a seed. It's an automated process. But I was just surprised at how close those plants were together. You know the reason for it? He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And that is a scriptural principle. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So if a farmer decides to plant seeds real close together, he's going to get a whole much larger harvest than if he decides to, I'm going to conserve this seed, money so to speak. I'm going to conserve my seed. Instead of planting it every 6 inches, I'm going to plant one every foot or every foot and a half. I'm going to save my seed. It's going to go further. Well, it will cover more, but you're not going to get the crop that you would get if you had invested more in that particular acre, planted more seed in that particular acre of ground. And God is saying the same thing. If we will sow bountifully, God will reward us bountifully. If, on the other hand, we choose to sow sparingly, this is mine, I have trouble giving it up, I'm going to hang on to it. We can do that. We can do that. And the Lord will reward us sparingly. Again, truths that God gives us. How much should we give? We saw it here. Proportionately. Based on the amount that God has given us, we should have a given portion of that we regularly give back to him. And as he increases our income and gives us more, that same percentage, or however you want to figure it, should be given as our incomes increase. To whom should we give? Not to everyone who asks. Please hear that. Not to everyone who asks. We need to be before God as to who we give money to. Unfortunately, there are individuals who sit at home and watch the TV, and men and women come on, and they are begging for money. And there are those who can feel, I've just got to help these people. So they may be widows, elderly men. They sit down and write a check and send it off. Many of those organizations, not saying all of them, but many organizations that raise money that way are not using that money as God would have it to be used based on Scripture. We need to be careful who we give to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 of 2 Thessalonians. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither should he eat. Now, folks, there are people in this world, there are people here in Greensboro, who could work but are not working. And I'm not casting stones at any particular individual because I don't really know their needs, don't know their hearts. But God's word clearly teaches that if a person won't work, he shouldn't eat. That's what God's word teaches. And sometimes it's difficult to look at someone, and once you learn something about them, and sympathize with them when you realize that they are not following God's instructions to get a job, to work, and to earn an income. For we hear that there are some among you who walk in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through the Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Those of us who are able-bodied, have able minds, are responsible before God to work and to provide for our families. We have a verse in another verse in Scripture. Won't take time to look at it. But Scripture teaches that we are responsible to give for those of our own families, obviously our own children. But there may be other family members. There may be mothers, fathers, others related to us who are not well off financially and need help. We understand that most senior citizens in the United States are living off fixed incomes, not all, but many, many of them are. And as costs go up due to inflation and other things, many of them fall into hard times. We are responsible before we ask the assembly or other believers to give to those within our own families. If we are able to help them ourselves, we have a scriptural responsibility to do that. Not going to look at all of these verses, but I want to just go down and share with you which verses that refer to different ones that God commands believers to give to. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. Evangelists. These are those who are going out, who are giving the gospel. God has given them a gift to minister the gospel, see individuals come and trust Jesus as Savior. We are to give to evangelists. Teachers, Galatians 6:6. Elders, 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18. Traveling ministers, we looked at that in 3 John 5, verses 5 to 7. Christians in need, 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. We looked at that. And then non-Christians in need, Proverbs 19:17. We have a food pantry here in the kitchen. I think most of you know that. Some may not. That food pantry is intended to meet the needs of those within our own fellowship who have needs, and any of you are welcome to go and help yourself to what's there that is replenished so that those who have legitimate needs can go in and find help. We have people who knock on the door, the chapel, and ask if we can give them some assistance. That is available to all of them as well. So God's word teaches that we are to give not only to those who are believers involved in the Lord's work, but we are to give to others as well. Now, the Bible teaches that every believer should be joined to a local church fellowship. And I say this because we have individuals who will knock on the door to the chapel here and say, I'm on my way, hypothetical story, but it's similar to what we not infrequently hear. I'm on my way from New Jersey down to Florida, and my car is broken down, and I need help getting it repaired. And they may, in some cases, have several children in the car. I really need your help. What can you do for me? And one thing that we've done on occasion has to ask them, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? Oh, yes, yes. Can you give me the name of the pastor of your church? And we'll go in the office here, and we'll call the pastor, let him know your condition, and we'll work out something so that you can be helped. And at that point in time, in every case that I'm aware of, they have backed down. They didn't want to go that far. You see, often there's deceit, and we don't know when people are being honest and truthful and when they're deceiving us. Some stories sound very, very good. Later on, you find that that person has gone to this church, to that church, and the other church, and done the very same thing. We don't want to be hard-hearted, brothers and sisters, but we need to be cautious. We need to be cautious. God's word teaches that every believer should be affiliated with a local congregation of believers, and that that church, their family first, but then that church has the primary responsibility to care for those in their fellowship who are running through difficult times. So our own primary focus should be on our local assembly. We looked at evangelists, at teachers, at elders, at ministers. There are missionaries on the foreign field. There are a variety of different, many, many different services that are solid biblically, and quite a number of these are brought to the attention of the elders here at Shenandoah's Bible Chapel, and we fellowship with many. We fellowship with people within this assembly on a regular basis who have needs. We fellowship with missionaries who are out on the foreign field, not able to work and earn an income and continue to serve the Lord, but they've gone out, those missionaries with the assemblies such as ours who are serving. Any missionary out there will be listed in the missionary handbook. Now, if you don't have one of those, we can get one for you. It's a handbook of all of the missionaries serving in the United States and Canada. It gives their names, where they're serving, the children, so on and so forth. But we have these people who are in need of help. Shenandoah's Bible Chapel fellowships with a number of those on a regular basis. One way of giving, let me just put it this way. Our primary focus in giving, and we never tell anyone you give only to Shenandoah's Bible Chapel. We have never said that, never will say that. That is not our business. However, if we're coming to Shannon Hills and we're being fed spiritually, we're enjoying fellowship, we're enjoying the worship meeting, we're enjoying Bible teaching, we're being built up spiritually, enjoying fellowship with other believers, our primary focus in giving should be our own fellowship. And we make every effort to satisfy all of these different areas of giving through Shannon Hills. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you and I give some money to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, or if we send it directly, I'm just trying to make the point of giving to the assembly, and some of those dollars go out to missionaries on the foreign field, you and I become a part of that which God is doing through that missionary. In other words, God rewards the missionary for who went out, and God rewards those of us who gave to enable that missionary to do what he's doing. And when we arrive at heaven one day and we stand before the Lord, I think, a lot about heaven that we don't know, but I think that the Lord will reveal to us all that was accomplished through that which we sent on before, gave to further his work. It costs a lot to fund this building, to keep the utility bills. We thank the Lord for our deacons and for all they do to take care of things here at the assembly. Save an awful lot of money because the deacons volunteer time. Save an awful lot of money in having people within the meeting who take care of the grounds. Those who serve on the ladies' committee and keep costs down in various ways. The assembly saves an awful lot of money, but there's still expenses. But as we give to the Lord's work, God promises to reward. You know, life is uncertain and life is brief, brothers and sisters. Let's invest for eternity. We have a loving God, a God who promises that we will never go without if, in fact, we are faithful in serving him. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's the measure with which God blesses his people, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God has never been any man's debtor. I would just say that I've had occasions in my life where I have thought that I was struggling financially, and I can remember an occasion in the U.S. Air Force when I just didn't think I had very much money, and it was easier not to give than it was to give. But I had been taught as a child that giving was scriptural. Brothers and sisters, we need to teach our children that giving is biblical, and that God expects us to give, God wants us to give, and God wants to bless us for giving. We should teach our children that. But I remember having had times when things were difficult, not only then, but since then too, with a wife and a mortgage on a home and four children that we were raising. There were times when things were tight. And I can remember on occasion, number of occasions, feeling, you know, I just can't give at this time. And not too long after that, just really becoming convicted that it's what the Lord wanted me to do. Just give and trust the Lord. And that's really what it amounts to trust the Lord as we give. And the Lord came back, and if you wanted to hear specifics, I'll be glad to give that to you personally. But the Lord came back in those occasions and proved to me, unquestionably, that he saw my condition, he knew that I had resumed giving, and he was blessing me for doing so. I mean, it was very, very evident. I remember two situations where money came from sources that I had not expected. I had not expected that, but I chose, started giving again, and God came back, and it was so real to me, so real to me. You know, when the Lord works in our hearts and lives and it's real to us, it is a blessed, blessed thing. Our faith grows in the Lord, we trust him more, and we praise him. And the Lord wants us as believers to experience just that, his presence, his guidance, and blessing in our lives. I've run over by 4 minutes. I want to thank you for your attention, and let's just look to the Lord in prayer as we close. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you that your purposes for us as your people are good purposes. Thank you, Father, that you are gracious, you are forgiving, you are kind-hearted. Father, we thank you that for all that you are to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would take your word and, Lord, apply it to our hearts and our minds. May we be open and receptive, Lord, that which you desire to teach us. Father, it's our desire that our lives would glorify the Lord Jesus and would count for eternity. O Lord, work in our hearts, we pray. Commit ourselves to thee with praise, worship, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.